Well, you are going to need your seats this morning because it's important we hit the road running. And what I've tried to do on the left-hand side of your sheet is summarize the first nine chapters of Mark, okay? And I think Mark has summarized it for us completely with the verse on the front, okay? And of course he would, because he's inspired by God. So the verse, if you want to take anything away this morning, the verse, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." There's an awful lot in that. You could spend, I know there are preachers who have spent weeks preaching on that verse, but that's not what I'm going to do this morning. The passage we're going to look at this morning is in Mark 10. Mark chapter 10 is on page 1021. Of the church Bibles. I'm going to read that and then we'll go straight into it. We're going to begin at verse 46 to the end of the chapter. "And they came to Jericho." That's the disciples and Jesus and those following him. "And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out to him and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." If the most powerful person in the world walked up to you and said, "What do you want me to do for you? I'll do anything." What would you ask for? What would you ask for? Well, I've tried to capture who might be important to you, okay? Someone really important. For some people, it might be Simon Cowell. Some of us can't stand the guy. But for some people, he is a really important and powerful person. So if he asked you that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would your answer be? Would it be, "Simon, I want to be famous. I want to go with you into the clubs and the bars and to meet all your celebrity friends"? Or would you be happy enough that you've just met your idol and you say, "Simon, just let me speak to you. To have a friendship, to have a relationship. Let me see who you really are." What about if it was Barack Obama? He's quite a powerful person. Again, some of us might like him, some of us might hate him. What would you say to if he asked you the same question? Would you be thinking about your status if he asked you that same question? Would you be thinking about whether you wanted to be noticed by people as being important? Thinking about yourself? Or would you settle just to know the president? Having a friendship with him? Getting to know him? Well, what we need to see in our passage this morning is Jesus asks that very question. What do you want me to do for you? And he asks that question firstly to the disciples in verse 36, which we haven't read, but it's there, verse 36. He's asked the disciples that same question. And in Mark 10, in where we are, in verse 51, he asks this blind man, Bartimaeus, that question. They answer and they ask for two different things. When the disciples are asked, what they ask for is status. They ask for status. But what we'll see from the blind man this morning is he doesn't ask for status. He just wants to see Jesus. He just wants to see the Savior. He wants to know him. He wants to see the real Jesus. To help us get into the story here in Mark, we need to know that the disciples have been following Jesus for quite a while. They've been watching what he does, listening to what he says. And what we need to understand is that Mark is writing through the eyes of Peter, one of the disciples. And that's why we get a lot of what Peter's doing in this book. And Peter, in the previous chapter, in chapter 8, has just said to Jesus, "You're the Messiah, you're the Christ. You're the Christ, you're the anointed one." He sees Jesus as his future king. That's what Peter does. And what Jesus has to do with the disciples, and this is something I didn't know until I went through Mark in a big way, is just how much Jesus has to dismantle their understanding of how he's going to be king, how he's going to rule as king, how he's going to rule in this world as king, and how he was going to be king to them. And this is part of it. You see, James and John, when asked that question, look for status. But the blind man doesn't. You see, the disciples still don't get it. They still don't understand that Jesus is going to be a suffering servant, a king who is going to die and suffer, and it's going to cost him. And it's interesting, I just love the way Mark's compacted it in that verse. The suffering servant, that he gave himself and paid the ransom. And they didn't get it, and he has to spell it out for them. And he has to show them through this blind man, Bartimaeus. Jesus had come to serve them. Jesus had come to serve them. And they needed to humble themselves. They didn't need to put themselves up, which is what they wanted to do. They had to humble themselves. And Jesus showed that he was a humble and suffering servant. And this then draws us to this story in Bartimaeus in verse 46. And this is a complete contrast. If you look at the two stories side by side, it's a complete contrast to the James and John narrative. And it's significant, we must realize that Mark has placed this passage here for a reason. He hasn't just decided, let's slide this in at the end of chapter 10, just before one of the significant things in chapter 11 is Jesus riding into Jerusalem as king. He's put it there for a reason, just before that happens, as Jesus rides into Jerusalem. And when we read the Bible, do we read it wanting to see Jesus? Because that's why I think Mark's put it there, to show us Jesus so that we see him. Jesus wants his disciples and those around him to think about their purpose and how they relate to him. Because that's where we are. The first eight chapters are about his identity as king, as the coming king, And then the last few chapters are about Jesus' purpose. And Jesus is revealing his purpose to his disciples and those around him. So we're introduced to this blind man Bartimaeus, and Mark wants us to connect with this man. He wants us to connect with him and understand what it was like on the streets. This is what I love about Mark. Mark is very descriptive of the environment around him, the environment of where it's happening, where Jesus was meeting. And I just want you to imagine that you're on the streets and you're a beggar of that time. It's not like begging on the streets of London nowadays. You see, there is no benefit system then. There was no care. He probably had no family to look after him. He had absolutely nothing. There wasn't even a slum. There wasn't a food bank where he could go to get food. He just had to beg. He just had to beg. And there's this man sitting in the streets with no help. And people walking past, not giving him a second look. But Mark gives us his name. And not only his name, but his father's name. This man, he wants to draw attention. He wants us to draw attention to what is about to happen. So we need to take notice. What is about to happen to this blind man, Bartimaeus? Well, the first thing we're going to look at is in verse 47... When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. You see, Mark shows us, first of all, that Jesus is a real man. Jesus is a real man. Well, why is that so important? Why is that significant? Well, Bartimaeus had heard about where Jesus had come from, and it shows here that Jesus was from Nazareth, and that he'd heard of all the history. And he heard that it was this man, Jesus, that was coming down the road. He was not just some fictional character. He was a real man, and he was coming to him down the road. I don't know about you nowadays, people don't see Jesus as a real man. They don't see him as a man in history. When all our history revolves around Jesus, our dating system revolves around Jesus. He's significant. He's real. And even if we thought he was real back 2,000 years ago, is he real now? Is he relevant to you now? And we will see how relevant Jesus was to Bartimaeus. We read in Mark's gospel about Jesus. It should be clear we're talking about a real man, and it should impact us. He's not just a figure from the past. And Bartimaeus calls out to him. He calls out to Jesus. But what does he say? Bartimaeus calls out and he says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This is where Mark is showing us Jesus is the coming king. Jesus is the coming king. You see, Bartimaeus has heard it's Jesus coming down the road. You can start to begin to feel his excitement just from Mark's words. This man is excited that it's Jesus that's coming. You can imagine, here's this beggar sat on the dirty road asking for food. And he hears this commotion. He hears the crowds coming down the road. And he hears, it's Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And he knows this man. And he wants to speak to this man. He wants to meet this man. And he shouts out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Why? Why does he use those words? Well, this man may have known about David. You've had David recently, I think. King David, Israel's first king chosen by God himself. He was the greatest of all their kings. And through David, God brought healing and blessing to the land. The Jewish people of the time were looking forward to God giving them a new king, and one that had been promised to them. They were waiting for a new king to reign and rule over them and to release them from the Romans and all the problems they brought. They were looking forward, the Jews, they were looking forward to this healing and blessing coming. And the expression that they knew that there was a future king that was going to come from the line of David who was going to rule over them was Son of David. Son of David. It's a picture of the promise of a future king. Did Bartimaeus know this? We don't know. We don't know if he did. But what we do know is that Mark did. He wants us to know about this Jesus, the future king. Mark is drawing us to him. And it's from the way Bartimaeus reacts. Nothing is going to stop him from reaching Jesus. Nothing's going to stop him from reaching Jesus. The people tell him to be quiet. They rebuke him. I don't know if you've seen people on the street when they call out. Some people tell them to shut up. Be quiet. And I'm sure these people were really harsh to Bartimaeus. But he doesn't settle for that. He's desperate to meet Jesus. So he calls out all the more. He shouts even louder. And what does he ask this king for? Mercy. He cries out for mercy. Normally he calls out for money, because that's the only way that he can survive. But not this time. Mercy is what you ask for from someone who is greater than you. Jesus can give him something much better than money. Jesus can give him his sight back. You see, this blind man wants to be healed and blessed by his future king. So this man is focused on by Jesus. Jesus eventually hears this man calling out to him. And he calls. He calls for this man to be brought to him. And this man, well, what does he do? Well, this man is overjoyed. He's overjoyed. He throws his cloak off and he runs forward. He's eager to meet Jesus. There's no hesitation. He throws his robe off and runs. He can't wait to get to Jesus. And Jesus asks him that question. Once he gets there, once he meets Jesus, Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he replies, "I want to receive my sight. Lord, Master." And in the NIV it says, "I want to see. I just want to see you." You see, Mark is showing us Jesus is the splendor of God. The splendor of God. Back in the Old Testament long ago, a prophet called Isaiah wrote about what it would be like when God intervenes to save his people. If you want to read it sometime, it's Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 10. It says, "When God will come, the land will be glad, breaking into new life as God reveals his glory and splendor." We read about specific signs that will be seen as God begins to move. We hear about a pilgrimage, God's people streaming up to a place called Zion, which is Jerusalem, a picture of Jerusalem. Singing his praises and being crowned with everlasting joy. And the signs that Isaiah mentions that will be seen in the land are these. "The feeble and weak will be made strong, so that they can stand strongly on their feet. a message of courage to those who fear, because God is coming. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the deaf will hear, the lame will leap, and the mute will shout for joy. See, what Mark's been doing through his gospel is revealing bit by bit who Jesus is. And we're now beginning to see that the curtain is being lifted and you're able to see the real Jesus. And Jesus says to Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. You see, Bartimaeus trusts that Jesus will give him his sight back. And as Mark shows us the appearance of Jesus, it shows us the splendor of God. Jesus served this man. Jesus healed him to give him a new purpose. And he did it so he could see the real Jesus, the one who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Bartimaeus is beginning to see who Jesus really is. And now he will go on to see it as God reveals his splendor. What is the most glorious and splendid thing that you would like most to see? What would it be? This man got to see Jesus. That's what he wanted to see. The splendor of God himself. Well, what must we see from this passage? It's a wonderful story, but what does it mean to us? Making blind eyes see symbolizes the way God opens our eyes to see the real Jesus and what he has come to do. And it's personal. And we're going to go more into that tonight as we look at John 9. Firstly, we need to realize that we're blind to God. We can't see the need or the want or help of Jesus. That is the sorry state of most people in the world. And this is because of sin. The Bible says we're blind to the things of God until he opens our eyes. If you don't see yourself as needing Jesus, then the Bible says you're spiritually blind. We are blind to our own sin, which so desperately needs to be dealt with. And our question should be, how do I then see Jesus? If I am blind, how can I be made to see? How can I be turned from being blind to now seeing? How can I do that? Well, Mark has given a very clear picture of how we can do that through Bartimaeus. Because the first thing that Bartimaeus does is he calls out to Jesus. He calls out to him. He cries out to Jesus to have mercy on him. And we need to do the same. We call out to God through praying. Pray out to God to have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what we do. We cry out to a holy God and we say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. That's what you need to do if you're blind and you want to see. Call out to him. The second thing to do is put yourself in his way. Put yourself in his way. That's what Bartimaeus does. If we're serious about wanting to see Jesus, then we make sure we place ourselves at his feet where we can meet him. One of my confessions is I watched The X Factor recently, and I was amazed at the things people will do to put themselves in the front of judges, to meet them, to get their opportunity. They will give up their jobs. They will queue for weeks. They suffer persecution from others around them, taking the mickey out of them because they look silly. But their motivation and purpose is to put themselves in front of those judges. We should be like that with Jesus if we're serious about being able to see, having our blindness lifted. We're to speak to him and listen to him. And that's what we do in church, isn't it? We come together and we put ourselves before him and listen to his word when it's read, when it's preached. The third thing to do is expect him to show himself. Expect him to show himself. Don't just call out to him, put yourself in front of him and not expect him to talk to you, to turn to you. When we ask God to reveal Jesus, to show us who he really is, then look for him. Expect to get an answer. And if you don't, then keep calling him. Be persistent, like Bartimaeus was. When Jesus didn't hear his first call, or do you really think he didn't hear his first call? I don't know. But he carries on. He's persistent. The people around him can't shut him up because he wants to meet Jesus. He's expecting him to respond to him. If you ask God to show you Jesus, he will. That is a promise. If you turn to God and ask him to show Jesus to you, he will. Just expect it. Look for it. The fourth thing is to humble yourself. Humble yourself. When you really meet with Jesus, you will be humbled. And you will be forgiven. There's a passage in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and this is what it says. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What a promise. What a promise. That if we want to see Jesus and we come and ask him, he promises to listen. He promises to show himself. And we will be humbled. We need to come humbly before him. God will show you the splendor of Jesus, the splendor of God through him. All we need to do is ask, look, and be willing. Well, if we're Christians, what we also need to see is that Jesus wants to show us that there is still sin in our life that we're blind to. I don't know about you, it's very easy to miss things in your own life, and then somebody comes and tells you, do you know you do that? And you're like, do I? Do I really? And it hurts, doesn't it, sometimes? Because we're blind sometimes to the way that we are, to the things that we do. And Jesus wants us to realize that we are blind to our own sin. And we should ask God to reveal it to us so that we can ask him to forgive it, so that we can deal with it. Because it's very easy to get to a stage as a Christian to think that we've made it, we're Christians. But God wants us to stop and think and call out to him daily for mercy. I just think of that man. I just think of that man, Bartimaeus, on that street, completely unable to do anything. And he just hears it's Jesus coming. And he's so excited. And all he wants to do is see him. He just wants to see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus this morning? Do you want your life renewed by him? Do you want to see the splendor of God? Then look to Jesus. And you know what? You come to Jesus and he will ask you, what do you want me to do for you? Will your response be like Bartimaeus? Lord, just show yourself to me. That's all I want. I just want to see you, Lord. I just want to see the Savior for who he really is. And have mercy on me. And when you do that, you'll be humbled. And you'll be the most happy person. You will have joy. That's what joy is. The splendor of the King.